my gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Bow to your sensei.
That's it? Just bow to your sensei? That's all you got, Lou? I was asking you to stretch so I could do something here. But okay, this is the Dutch Jones radio program. The show snuck up on us today. We weren't ready. I mean, we've got a show ready. But boom, 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 next thing you know, there's the show time. Lou goes, oh, you got like 20 minutes. And he comes around and goes, actually, it's going on in like 8 minutes. You better hurry. So that's the way time compression works when you're busy. This is Dutch Jones. This is what we like to call the Muppet Show. I mean, the Dutch Jones radio program. We do this Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. We come to you from a little mountain hamlet of Cahuilla, California. It is a Christian militant worldview show. We push the crown rights of Jesus Christ into everything that we do. It's not for everyone, but give it a listen. Don't just listen to one day, because I offend everyone sometime, because when you speak the truth, it's offensive. 10 years ago, if I'd have heard myself saying some of the things I'm saying today, I'd probably go, uh-huh. It's a building on knowledge that has gotten me to where I am. It's not just stuff I'm making up and pulling out of the air. So, you know, don't get too upset. We spent the day doing research, watching some videos. Lou got his split-second survival series, the whole set, and we saw some pretty amazing things we're going to share with you. We haven't got to watch the whole thing. We've been working on hand signals. I can't really share that with you. It doesn't convey well on the internet for audio. Maybe we could turn on the camera on Friday and we can show you. Lou's got some hilarious hand signals he's come up with. The punchlines alone are funny. You don't even have to see the hand signals. But we're working on that. We're getting our gear together. We just got some orders in. Thank you so much for people that are ordering. He's got an order for boots in. Those will be ordered first thing in the morning. They're closed right now. What they do is our suppliers are all West Coast. They open up early, like at 4 a.m. to get the East Coast orders. I think just have two shifts of slave labor. I don't know why they would penalize us on the West Coast, but they were gone by like 3 o'clock. So we'll order those boots. I don't know if you guys are in the room. I can't see the room right now, the people that ordered, but we got that, and then we'll order more stuff tomorrow. Mañana. I'm getting in touch with my feminine side here. we're an all-encompassing show. I got to paste this here. Hang on. Let's do this. Make sure that pops up. Okay, it's not doing it. Stacy got deleted today off Facebook because actually an ex-in-law of hers complained that she was racist and mean and bigoted and all this stuff. But that's okay. We got her back up. If you're a member of my Facebook page, just find my wife on my info. It says married to. Click on her and add her new account. She puts a lot of time and effort in it. You know, most women have hobbies. Stacy has Facebook, and she loves that thing because there's not a lot of places up here for people like us to reach out and find other people like us. So she likes the people that are on there. She really enjoys the interaction. She likes spreading the info. She likes sharing the stuff that we share that way. I just posted stuff on Facebook. If you are one of our Facebook listeners, welcome. Thank you for being there. If you are a podcaster and you're listening to this on the replay, I see Mary's on there. I was going to talk about your stuff, Mary. You know how you've seen those, and we can't put the picture up right now, but we're going to work on it. You've seen those survival bracelets that you can get with the 550 cord that you can braid? Well, Mary has taken it one step further. We did it, but not as nice as she did it. Now, she crocheted them into rifle slings and put these S hooks on the end that are really nice. I've seen them before, like carabiners. And she put a picture of them up. These are awesome. These are awesome. And what we're going to do is we're going to work out something here in the next few days. We'll get them up on the website. We'll get the pictures up. We'll get the information out. And if you guys want to buy them, and when you buy them, we'll just send the money to Mary. But I am really big on the cottage industry thing. Patriots making things with their own 2 feet and hands so that folks can make some money to buy more beans and bullets. Especially after last night's show, you guys know that you have to buy a lot more stuff, right? People, I'm handing out that list of food shelf lifetimes. Give me your power cord. Or do you need it? The power cord to plug you in. Okay. And I gave it to my pastor. He looked at it. He says, this is depressing. I don't want this. He goes, I'm still going to eat the stuff. So, yeah, there you go. So we're trying to encourage people to buy things from other patriots. So Mary is going to get those rifle slings up. That's a good idea. You're out. You're a hunter, and you get caught behind a storm front or something, and you need some parachute cord to make yourself a shelter. Lash some twigs together, some limbs. A bracelet's a cool idea. I don't know how many feet is on the bracelet. Does anybody know? How many feet go on that survival bracelet? 8 feet? But this crochet thing that Mary did, if you could check in the chat room and tell me, it looks really cool. I tried my hand at making one today, and it looks really gay. Yeah. It looks like some 1970s macrame thing. 16 feet. Is that 16 feet for the bracelet? No. That's 16 feet for your rifle sling that you're making. So you can carry 16 feet, have it doing something while you're doing something. And another good, nice little it looks good. It's crocheted. Now, I'm not really sure what that means. I don't know if that's like you do it with crochet mallets. Do you use crochet mallets like out in the backyard? Oh, it's croquet? The women are looking at me like I'm a retard. When it comes to that stuff, yeah.
It's like a
needle and loop or hook and weave and bob. And okay. So we're stalling here while people are getting in line, but it's... Oh, your sling has a lot more than 16. Oh, I'm being shown a crochet hook right here by the... As I put it on the thing, it's the... the tactical crochet deployment unit that we have here. We're going to show them your picture there and what it. Yeah, crochet is a needle and a hook.
Really cool.
So it looks like a great idea. It's on our Facebook page. If you go to our Facebook page, Dutch Jones, go to Facebook, you'll see it there. And if you want to order one, just we don't know. I don't even know what you want to charge for them. I mean, what would you pay? I think it's a great idea. You know, it's something I would easily pay $20 for. To have, and we don't know how many feet are go into this thing, but it's a good idea. But if you've got an idea, if you've got a cottage industry and you want to use our venue, hey, that's fine. You can use our PayPal, whatever, you know, we'll work with you. We want to help people get the money they need to buy bullets and beans, period. That's what this show is about. We put our webpage where our mouth is. We're trying to work with the lady who runs our health club. Stacy and I belong to a health club. And I was talking to her yesterday. I said, do you have any business cards? She goes, I have these. And they were like some handwritten things cut out on construction paper. And I said, okay. I said, what about your website? Can I check out your website? She's like, well, we don't really have a website. And I'm like, could I rent you my son for a day? So she doesn't even, you know, she's not advertising this little health. It's in a barn up here.
Word of mouth,
we heard about it. But I gave her an idea. I said, why don't you go to all the hotels and put a flyer up? Because these Euro trash people that come over, what did I just disconnect? Are we still on?
Phone.
Yeah, I just connected the phone. Let's back up. These Euro trash people want to come and work out while they're here visiting for 2 weeks. So we're going to design her a flyer and stuff. That's how we do things here. She claims to be a Christian woman. I know she's not in the movement because as soon as she found out who we are, her eyes are like, but she's being nice to us. She even offered us, I told you we're looking for a place to rent to put the business in. She says, I got buildings around here that, and they have internet where this health club is at. It's a barn with weightlifting equipment in it and a racquetball court, which I haven't done yet. But she says you can rent this for $300 a month, and you know you can get internet and all that in here. So she's obviously at least for monetary purposes. But that's how we build fellowship, huh? That's how we build relationships. I spent a really good amount of time speaking with just different people the last few days that are very desperate, trying to give them a spirit of hope, trying to instill in them a spirit of desire to make the process their goal. And we got to do it to each other. You know, sometimes it's easy to get caught up in it and panic, and we got to work together. So just keep out there. If you've got something you want to sell, you know, you've got like a funny idea for a T-shirt. We got another guy. who's going to be coming on in the next hour, Steve Klein. I'm designing some T-shirts for him. He's paying me to come up with the logos, and you know, and then he's going to sell them, and a portion of the money is going to go to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. Now, these are hardcore crusader-type T-shirts, you know, fighting the Muslim horde, that kind of stuff. Really good stuff, and he's going to talk about it. If you're not going to stick around, make sure you come back for the second hour on replay. Steve Klein's pretty amazing stuff, some good information that's going to, you know, you'll know a lot of this just because most of you people are well-versed in the holy cause of liberty and who the enemies of Christ are, but we're going to do it, and it's going to be good. Warning, unsocialized homeschooler for a T-shirt idea. There you go. I like that. And like I said, Lewis found this place where you can get a million T-shirts for $1.68 a piece or something.
Yeah.
But he's still trying to pitch me on that idea. He says, just give me the money. I'll make it happen. And I'm like, no, Lou. Yeah, Lou, yeah. Yeah, I got $1 million just laying around. I got a couple cookie jars. I haven't, Lou, did we check our email to see if we got those picks from Rocky Hill? Can you check?
When we got back from the checking the map.
We checked a couple hours ago and they weren't in there yet. Make sure the email that we're using is dutch@dutchjones.info. dutch@dutchjones.info. That is the final email. We finally transitioned. Every time I try to use Yahoo Mail, even if I'm sending one or 30 emails out, it makes me do that stupid CAPTCHA thing. It's like treating me like a spammer. Like a spammer. Well, who else in the chat room today? We got Rocky Hill, Mary, Olima's in there, a whole boatload of guests. So thank you for signing in there, folks, or at least tuning in. You're not signed in. It doesn't cost to listen to the show. Some people have been saying, if I want to talk in the chat room, it's going to cost. It's a free membership. It's the way broadcast works.
If you want to broadcast.
Yeah, if you want to broadcast and have more than one person listen to it.
Subscribe under the free.
Yeah, subscribe under free.
0.0.
Yeah, so they won't charge you anything. You don't have to give a credit card number. And that way you can take part in the chat room. Those people listening on the other networks at different times, I guess I didn't say it today. Today is the 15th? 16th of November. Man, it's flying by. 16th of November, 2010. It's about 5:12 p.m. Pacific time. We're on the West Coast. And so if, you know, don't call in. I'm about to give the phone number out if you do want to call in. Only call in if it's live. There are people that are in this building throughout the day, and if they answer it and you ask for Dutch Jones, they're going to go, huh? Because it's a library. I'm in a public lobby of a library. We tried using a room in the back, but there were just too many problems with being disconnected and all that kind of stuff. You guys that have been with us for a while know the problems. Well, I've got some articles here I want to talk about, and let me go through here. There's some... I've seen so much stuff today that just is annoying in the media. Of course, the stock market dropped below 11,000. Oil went down, though. But most importantly, remember last week I was telling you about a couple contacts I have in FEMA and a former... congressman who told me that Walmart was going to be the answer to the logistic problems for Camp FEMA, and that FEMA had received a large contract to supply food and materials to these FEMA camps. They already have the trucks. They already have the displaced storage facilities. Well, today, if you start looking, just type in Walmart stock price. It's been going up steadily for the last few days. So is Home Depot. But everybody else is going down. They had, you know, a 200-point drop today, and, of course, they probably threw on the brakes. But Walmart, remember what I said? The people that are insider trading who know about this stuff will go buy Walmart stock. And it's not because I mentioned it on the radio show. Nobody's listening to me. There's like 6,000 of you on a good day with downloads and all the different outlets. And most of you folks are like me. You don't buy stocks. That was insider trading. I don't have enough of a – when I throw a pebble, it doesn't make much of a ripple in the financial market. So that was something I kept an eye on there. I was really surprised. Hey, I made a prediction and it came true. It was just common sense, too. It was common sense because it's always follow the money. When something's going on, look at 9/11 Truth. What did the stocks for those airlines do the day before, right? You know, that's the way it works. Here's one for you that's going to make you mad. You know all those scanners and stuff across America? Holiday season's coming up. Now, if you don't want to go through the full body scanner so people can see your junglies, you know, in an X-ray vision thing, you have to submit to a complete pat-down where some thug rent-a-cop gets to grope you. Well, one kid brought a recording device in, and he's like, man, don't touch my junk. Don't touch my junk. And the guy's like, oh, I'm going to have you arrested. Well, I went reading through all this, and guess what? Janet Napolitano is going to give an exemption to Muslim women so they don't have to get groped or go through the scanner. So what is the whole point in doing this whole stupid thing if they're going to give a pass to Muslim women? Right. So now every they've already thought of this. The Muslim terrorists are like, well, we're just going to put our bombs on the women.
Yeah.
Or we'll dress up like women. And they've been doing it already. Retarded kids, little girls, pregnant women. Mm-hmm. So Muslim women don't have to be patted down by TSA this holiday, but you do. It all goes back to profiling, folks. You either do the profiling or you let your country die. Now, I had a really good idea, and I haven't been able to confirm this one way or the other. But I got some comments saying, hey, you know how Israel does it? I go, well, yeah, they probably just shoot everybody who's not white. But they go, no. One, they do a lot of pre-screening. They do a lot of profiling. But then somebody says they have this new technology. I got this from three or four different people today. I got 150 emails today. And about 25 of them were this thing. They said there's a device about the size of a bathroom stall. Everybody has to sit in it. That is, that they think may be a suicide bomber. And then they flood it with radio waves. And they trigger the explosion. If somebody's got a bomb on them, it goes off. They said it's a great filter. Now, I would set 15 seconds in a booth knowing that I don't have a bomb. 15-second delay, sure, that's better than getting groped by some guy from Tunisia, which is what it is now. I've flown since 9/11. I can't fly anymore, as you know. And these people that they have working for the TSA are scary. Very scary. There may be one or two supervisors that look like they're ex-military or something, but the rest are just... I gotta watch people say I'm being racist here, but they look like gorillas. And I don't mean that in a racial way. I mean that just the way they sit there, big fat ladies, with their big, the buttons popping on their outfits. You know, their little blazers say TSA. And they're like, and they make you take your shoes off 8 or 9 times now. Well, what's happening is on the 24th, which is Thanksgiving Day, am I right? The 24th? There's gonna be a mass protest of all these, civil liberties people, and the ACLU is even involved in this, and they're just going to refuse to do it. So the 24th is the day before Thanksgiving. People are going to refuse to do it, and it's going to slow. And then they have I was listening to some recordings of the head of the TSA, and he's like, that's just irresponsible. It's going to make things unsafe and slow everything down for everybody. No. Israel, the most targeted nation in the world for terrorism, doesn't do this stuff because they profile. I'm not a big fan of Israel. At all, but if the enemy is the nation of Islamic peoples of the world that want to come and blow us up, then profile. And then if Norwegian Muslims start blowing people up, then okay, then we'll take the next step. It's not time for this 100% pat down. It's not time to do nudie pictures of everybody coming through. We're not at that point. And again, anyone who sacrifices liberty for security deserves neither. I'm paraphrasing, but greater men than women than me have said this. Oh, Lou's looking through the pictures here that was sent in. Yeah. Pelican cases and lumbar. Interesting. Go to the truck. I want to see the truck, Lou. Okay. And it says U.S. Navy on the truck. Is that what you're telling us, Rocky? Let me go back to the U broadcast here. Oops, he's talking about a no-no buffering. let's see here. Which one did you... Rocky, we're looking at the picture of the flatbed with the yellow and gray Pelican cases, and some items are covered. Let me take a look, Lou. I got to lean away from the microphone. Okay, yeah, I don't know if that's a generator or what. It's interesting. Now, see if you can zoom in on this panel right here, Lou. I want to see what that says.
No, I can't.
Okay. Well, it looks like we're loading up there. Scotty38's here. Welcome to all our Dundee, New York listening folks. We appreciate you tuning in. And listening there. So, yeah, I don't know if you're going to fly this holiday. We're not. We're going to drive about 70 miles to the in-laws' house have turkey at 6 a.m. because Stacy's dad likes to get up at 4 in the morning and prepare Thanksgiving dinner. It's great. I'm thankful. Don't get me wrong. Oh, that was the other thing. Lou, we've got to find the Johnny Appleseed song.
Okay.
We've got a new song up here that we're going to sing. You know, Thanksgiving doesn't have a song. Well, Disney a long time ago did this Johnny Appleseed thing back in the 40s or 50s, and they wrote it. I know it's Disney, but they wrote a song for the Johnny Appleseed little video they did, or back then it'd be a film. And a lot of homeschoolers have been adopting this, and we've been singing it in church. And it's all about God and being thankful and all that kind of stuff. So we want to share that with you if Lewis can find it. You think he can find it right now, Lou?
Yeah.
Yeah. If it knocks us off the air, we'll deal with it. You know, just don't go anywhere, guys. That's just the way it is. See, what else do we have here? Lots of stuff on the financial panic. Here's something good you guys need to know about. California, it turns out that our $25 billion deficit is really much bigger than what they're claiming. Because of unfunded mandates, subsidized federal programs that they're not going to fund anymore. This state is about ready. He's having some secret meetings right now. El Jefe, the Schwarzenegger, is having some financial meetings. He's going out. He doesn't care. He's going to hand it off to Brown and go, here, nice knowing you. They're talking about declaring bankruptcy in the state of California. But before it gets to that, there's something you need to know. Welfare is going to stop. Unemployment will stop. Workers' compensation for the state of California will stop. These people, after 3 days of not getting their check, it'll take about 3 days. Most of these folks that live on welfare don't even stock their shelves. They just go to the store every day. Now you go, no, that's not fair. I used to be on welfare when I was a kid. I know how it works. And I used to be a workers' comp investigator. I used to be a private investigator for welfare fraud. I know how these people are. They don't stock up. They don't put away. They don't act like the ant. They act like the grasshopper. So they're going to be very angry very fast. When this thing happens. So keep watching. And guess what? The rest of you, the other 49 states, you're going to get to pay for it because they're not going to let us go more than a week or two with violence. I really believe that. You know, the illegal aliens, they're getting free schooling and everything, and when they're told they have to wait for that, when they're told they can't get their – you'll get food stamps because that's a federal program. So be watching that. California is talking about declaring bankruptcy because it's going to be about $50 billion deficit here, which, you know, when compared to the federal, that's really nothing. Let's see, survivalmetrics.com was somebody that just connected with me. Survivalmetrics.com, check that out. I got that in the email. I think it's about compasses and stuff. I need to look at it. The Walmart story I've already talked about. Did you see what's happening in Haiti? Great, great model for those of you that want to rely on any government to take care of you in a disaster. You don't have to store anything. You can go to the FEMA camps. And in this case, it's the UN refugee camps in Haiti. The shooting has already started. The people are dying from secondary diseases, typhoid, all those types of things, dysentery. They're basically pooping their lives out. Cholera is the big one. Thank you, Stacy. And what's happening now is the UN troops that are there, which are all African troops probably, are shooting the rioters that are trying to get out of the camps now. Yeah, go ahead. Make your plan. Wait for FEMA, like all the idiots up here that live outside of this microphone. They don't listen to me. They're all, FEMA will take care of us. They'll bring up trailers. They'll bring up stuff. Just like Katrina was the testing for what Americans would do, they're doing the same thing with Haiti. They're. It's been a year, right? Has it been a year? It's just insane. Almost a year since the earthquake, right?
And they're still.
Yeah, it's going nuts, and it's. They're using it as a petri dish to see what people will suffer. Stacy's got hiccups. And they're going to apply it here. Now they're learning, it takes about a year before the refugees start fighting. They have to watch their babies die of cholera and dysentery before they get mad enough to storm the gates. See what I'm talking about? And I guarantee it's going to take longer for Americans because most Americans are sheep. I don't know if it's the chemtrails. I don't know if it's the fluoride in the water. But Americans make me sick. They're pathetic. And I'm not talking about you guys. You know that. It's those other guys. People that complain about this show. They complain about Stacy's website on Facebook.
I got deleted.
Yeah, I told them already.
Backup.
Always have a backup. Even on Facebook, we have backups.
Yeah,
have a plan.
I was in the college.
Yeah. So just know this. We can see what's going to happen here by watching what's going on. Over there, even just into the Caribbean right there. Let's see here. Here's a story that I had talked about a little bit in Pennsylvania. Some pig farmer let over 900 pigs starve to death, it looks like. And there's this huge outrage. All the animal rights people are saying, look at this. Now, we don't know if he went and shot them all in the head. But Warford, Pennsylvania, prosecutor says he expects criminal charges will be filed in the deaths of hundreds of pigs that perished at an abandoned South Central Pennsylvania farm. District Attorney Travis Kendall declined to identify the suspect as the investigation continues. That means they probably don't know who it is. A person interested in buying the 218-acre farm in Warfordsford. I can't see what that says. I'll take a look at it. Warfordsburg, Pennsylvania, discovered the dead pigs November 7th. The spokeswoman for the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals said Tuesday that there were between 500 and 600 carcasses. The earlier estimate was more than 900. The ASPCA is all upset. How do we know he didn't shoot them all? Cut their throats and throw them there. It's because of the economy they couldn't do it. Let's see. If you have time on the show, I have a question for you. Let me know when you have time. Oh, go ahead. We're coming up on a break here. But if you'd like to call in, I don't know if you want to call in, let me give out the number. 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. We're going to have a break here in about 3 minutes. So you can call in if you want to, and we can ask it before the break, or you can ask it right now in the chat room, Mary. That's fine. Just covering some of the usual email stuff as I do in the first half hour before we get to... we're going to talk about, in the next half hour, we are going to talk about the split-second survival videos that we saw, having a different paradigm when it comes to self-defense. It's not a martial art. It's a system that is so natural and so easy to adapt, and it takes away the machoism of it. Like one guy said, he goes, I love these guys that tell me they're triple-degree black belts, and they say things along the lines of... Oh, my wife can take on five guys. He goes, and what I'm thinking here is that those five guys can't fight. They didn't fight hard enough, or the woman got lucky.
Oh, they don't have weapons.
And they don't have weapons, and they're not willing to kill, and they weren't dedicated attackers. Because there's just, I mean, brute force is brute force. And, you know, a guy my height, 5'7", go against a 6'2", 300-pound Viking, I'm going to have to be smarter than him. And, you know, I can use leverage and all that kind of stuff, but the reality of it is I want to do as much damage as I can and get away. And that's what it is. You either want to kill them with their own weapon, if you don't have one, which would be stupid in these days and times and days, or just get out of the situation altogether. It's a mindset. And I really like these guys are in Alaska. It was funny. They shot the first video we watched over a different period of months because one time it looks like summer.
It was like over 5 months.
And then the next time it's snowing. And they're doing it like in their driveway. And like all the neighbors came over to watch, but it's really good. Okay. I've been working on food storage for a while now, Mary says. Everyone looked at me like I was a nut. Now those people are asking how to get started ever since Beck is talking about it. Yeah. Should I trust them enough to help them get started or just refer them to websites? Okay, here we go. Very good question, Mary. What we tell people is that what's happening here is I've helped people over the last year and they're blowing me off. Now they're coming back because they're scared. What you might want to do is work together a little handout, like a one- or two-page thing on what you did, a narrative, and just hand it to them. Tell them, this is what I did. This is my experience. They'll ask for things like lists, but don't get them involved in where you store your stuff, how much you have. In fact, you may want to subdue the suggestions a little and just say, well, we're just doing what we can. We're just doing what we can, because even the closest friend is going to be brutal. And also on what Robbie said, their bullets have little concern for height and weight. Actually, they do. If you've ever shot anybody, it matters how big the person is. We'll be back after the break. We'll continue with Mary's question. And more Dutch Jones.
Domestic violence. And you're broke and disgusted with your worthless government. Will you need the peacekeeping forces today? As the United Nations sends our soldiers overseas for the purpose of propping up their fake democracies, don't be fooled by denial. These are gross conspiracies. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces today. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops are on their way. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces. Sell this country down the drain to assist and support the international bankers' aims. Don't be fooled by your TV. It's just there to fan the flames of another United Nations charade. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces. The peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops are here today. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces. The peacekeeping forces. Shipments every day.
Watch the mother of global martial law attempt to make things right.
Wrong. Now that your mind has been salvaged and you still have truth in sight, and you have not been duped by all their propaganda hype, will you fight for this country when you know the time is right? Will you fight the peacekeeping forces today? We're gonna fight the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops will have to pay. Don't you think those light bright blue helmets sure make darn good targets? Hup, two, three, four, they stand out like ship boats on the bay.
So I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and rain and an apple seed. Yes, he's been good to me. I owe the Lord so much for everything I see. I'm certain if it weren't for him, there'd be no apples on this limb. He's been good to me. Oh, here am I, neath the blue, blue sky, a-doing as I please, singing with my feathered friends, hawing with the bees. I wake up every day as happy as can be, because I know that with his care, my apple trees, they will still be there. Oh, the Lord is good to me.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world order.
Attention. This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Oh, you sensei.
Okay, we're back. We had a little break there. That song we played was a Johnny Appleseed song. That's the new unofficial Thanksgiving song of the homeschool world out there, Christian world. It's a nice little song. We'll try to work it in now a lot more now between now and Thanksgiving. Well, I'm Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program, and we are a listener-driven program is our goal. And we had a great question before the break from Mary up in Michigan, Mary, who asked about friends coming to her now that blew her off before, but now because Glenn Beck kicked everybody in the groin, they're like, oh, no, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do now? Well, that's a great question. I'm dealing with it now. Everyone I know is dealing with it. Anyone that's outgoing is dealing with it. And we talked about, you know, maybe having a one or two page thing of, you know, some prepping information, give them some websites like she said she already did. Websites are great. Survivalblog.com, survivalblog.com. Send them to djstore.tk. Most people don't have money to buy stuff, but at least, you know, get them thinking. Now, the other thing you have to do is you have to take a deep breath when these people come to you. And one, resist the temptation to slap them. And two, resist on the other side the temptation to help them too much. Do not sacrifice anything you've collected for your family, your two or three families, your church, or your little neighborhood, because these Johnny-come-latelys are now, you know, big pouty eyes and you maybe had a good relationship with them before. Remember what they've done. They've put their families at risk. They're putting you at risk now, and they're putting their communities at risk. So you have to have the right mindset when it comes to this. remember that. Don't give away anything and thinking, well, I'll just go order, you know, I'll give them, there's a couple cases of MREs, and I'll go get some more tomorrow, because something that was easily accessible a year ago or even 6 months ago, you may not be able to replace today. You know, don't hand them your bug-out bag and go, well, I'll just make another one. Because you may be giving away your life preserver. You may be giving away your inflatable life raft. You may be giving away your children's future. I know it sounds cold, but that's what you got to do. Some of the folks up here, I told you what we're doing at our church. We're putting together little canisters of things that we will hand out to people with a smile, a Bible track, and a prayer. Sorry. You had your chance. And I said it yesterday, I think. I got people calling me, and I'm going, well, you talked to me last month. Have you done anything on that checklist I gave you? No. Then you need to stop calling me and go find someone else to bug. Mary said, it makes me think of that children's story about the hen who worked on baking. Asked everyone for help, and they all said no, but wanted to partake in what she baked. I don't remember the name of the story. Yes, I want to smack them all. Do you agree with the book Patriots Give Till It Hurts? If you can. Robbie asked an excellent question. Patriots is a book I highly, highly recommend. Anything I pick up on the battlefield post-collapse, anything I collect from my enemy post-collapse, will become barter first and then giving to widows and orphans, but not to people who knowingly refuse the clarion call. That's the difference. That's the difference. I'm not going to give till it hurts the survival plan that I've put together for my family. If I have an extra 22 and 50 rounds of ammo that I took off of a zombie or a cannibal, if you've read the book, you know what I'm talking about, then yeah, I'll pass that on to a widow or a person that's coming through, but they're not going to get to stay with me unless they have skills that are needed. If you plan this right, and Murphy doesn't visit horribly upon your plan, then you won't have to do that. Now, as Christians, we have very solid-based precedents in the Bible for this, and I've given you guys the verses before. The virgins and the oil. You know, it's just the way it is. People, if they're not getting it now, then it's on them, folks. Better men than me have been out here screaming and saying, look what's going on, and everybody thinks they're kooks. That book, Mary's asking, she thinks it was The Little Red Hen. It may be. I'm sorry. You're in a lifeboat. You're rowing away from the sinking ship. It's full. Your family's in it. You got your supplies. And here come the people that didn't get to the lifeboats on time. The people that didn't listen to the abandoned ship. They thought it wasn't going to happen to them. Do you let them in your boat and kill everyone? Or do you row away and just deal with the nightmares of the screams and curses that are going to be hurled at you? I would rather lose sleep years from now than allow my family to die in the next few weeks because I was stupid with our resources. Sharing is one thing with others that are like-minded. Bartering, helping people out that show an honest and earnest desire to do the right thing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who have never done the right thing, whose only plan is, well, I'll get me a gun and I'll kick in some doors and I'm going to help out myself to your supplies. You got to be wary of these people. Right now, they're doing their plan by going, well, who's prepping right now? Who do I know that's always been into this crazy end of the world stuff? Teotihuacan. So they're going to start looking for you. And they're going to be writing down your address, and they may even trade it or sell it to keep themselves alive. That may not even be their intentions now. But your cousin Bob, who never listened to you, made fun of you while he was out spending his money on beer and golf, he's trying to make it out of L.A. He gets stopped by the 38th Street Padres or whatever, and they're going to kill him and his family because they got nothing to trade. And he says, I'll tell you what, I'll take you to a house in the suburbs that's fortified. You guys have the guns. You could get in, and if you let me and my family live, I'll show it to you. You don't like thinking like that, do you? You don't like hearing that, do you? The one consistency throughout history is that humans are terrible. They will betray their own mother for a handful of grain and a mouthful of water. Period. The exception are the righteous people who will do the right thing consistently and will be honest and will do what the Lord has asked for them to do. You would be disobeying God. You would be disobeying Scripture if you sacrificed your family's, not just comfort, I'm talking about outright survival, to help these people who refuse to listen to the Word of God. Period. I know it's harsh. That's why I'm going to be one of the guys on the gate up here. I can deal with it. I've been in refugee situations. I've seen people at their worst. God has prepared me for this. Learn from my experience. Learn from what I'm sharing with you. Best thing to do, if you say, hey, I can't handle this, I don't want to be part of it, don't tell anybody you're prepping. Don't share it with those people in your community that you know may exploit you later or think may exploit you later. And when you see the signs, get out of Dodge. And you won't be in that situation. Right, Lou?
Yeah.
Stop being a professional victim, America. That's why we're where we are. Now, my chances may only be 50% better than somebody living in a city, but that's a 50% that I am content with and I can sleep at night right now. Does that mean I don't give stuff away? No. When I find somebody who's been not willfully unaware, but just didn't know how much they didn't know, people who didn't plug their ears and go, yeah, when it was being preached, but had never come across it, and those people are out there, then I go, here's a book you need to read. Here, take a look at my gear. This is what I've done. Do you think you can do this? Let me come over to your house and do an assessment of what you got. That's what I do. I look around the ground. I say, it's not as bad as you think it is. Look at all the gear you have. Here, you even have some extra you could sell or trade to get the things you don't. Because we're living in a time when it may be thinning out. When things may be thinning out. You're going to have only a couple days when you think things are getting bad to when they really are bad. And then you'll only have a couple more days after that to where you can get out successfully without the blessing of the Lord and just a huge old dose of luck sometimes. Man, I pray for all my listeners that refuse to get out of the cities or can't get out of the cities. Most people can get out of the cities, they just refuse to because they don't want to sacrifice comfort and wealth for safety. They're just like, well, I can't give up my house, I can't give up my job, I can't walk away from this. That's something you have to do, and you'll answer to your maker for that. And you'll have to look your little kids in the eyes when the bad guys are kicking in your doors. You'll have to look at your daughter in the face, your little six-year-old daughter, when she's starving in the FEMA camp because there just isn't enough, and disease has taken your wife and your son, and it's just you two left, and you can say, I'm sorry, I messed up. That's on you. When you're sitting in that in a relocation camp and you're looking up at the towers and you see that guy up there from Bangladesh with an AR-15 and some UN beanie on, and he's got a machine gun pointed at you and they're separating you from your wife and your children and they're putting you in a work camp and God knows what they're going to do with your family. You deal with God on that level. I'm not going to be there. I would rather be embarrassed and living in the mountains with a bunch of canned foods and everything just be leave it to Beaverville for the next 50 years than run the risk of within the next decade the scenarios I just gave you coming true and me being trapped behind enemy lines and not being a help to my family. I deal with an interior pain that many of you suffer from, but the fact of it is that I know a lot and I have trouble sleeping at night because of that. My daughter, who I love with all my heart and soul, is 5 hours away with her evil birth mother. So don't talk to me about fear. Don't talk to me about sacrifice like I haven't done it. That's a problem with America. Very few people are willing to sacrifice stupid things for the things that matter. Look at the lines of refugees in all these places where wars are fighting right now. And like in modern cities, like when Bosnia-Herzegovina went up, when they let the Muslims butcher and rape people, and Clinton went in and they destroyed people, Christians, they bombed churches with American aircraft to defend the Muslims. Those modern people in Yugoslavia were, at first, the refugees were pulling TVs, you know, everything, all the modern appliances. By the third or fourth week of the sieges to the major cities, they were getting out with maybe a bucket of water and a blanket on their back and some of their kids because most of them were killed in the shelling at night. Why is it that modern man refuses to learn from things that even happened in the last century, 20 years ago, a decade ago? That's the difference between modern man and our forefathers. They had a collective wisdom about themselves. They weren't stupid. They didn't have this retardation when it came to going, hey, that over there could happen over here. Huh. Sounds like a planned inbreeding and programming to me. It's like the New World Order almost wanted it that way. So tell your friends, Mary, when they come to you, you know, with your best smile on, yeah, we've been concerned about this too, and, you know, we've got a few things, but here's some of the literature I've read, and here's the second thing I would tell them. You need to find a church. You need to find three or four other families, because we're full, and you need to start doing this as soon as you can. You know, the Lord will give you as much time as the Lord's going to give you. If they continue to be belligerent, then I chastise them and send them on their way. You know, I don't want to browbeat them too much, but I'm also not going to give them a pass because of their own selfishness in previous decades of knowing me. I know people that I've known all of my life since the age of 18 that I still have contact with that only recently are going, oh man, you were right about this stuff. Mary says most of them are from her church. Yeah. Yeah. I had somebody telling me the other day how terrible their church was because their pastor was just telling them all this stuff was abhorrent and that we've got to obey Caesar and the UN's a good thing and all that stuff. And I said, why are you going to that church? So I would ask you, Mary, what's the pastor teaching that some of his followers are not using the stories of the Old Testament to learn these things? They're not listening to the parables that Jesus Christ put forth to prepare ourselves for these things. It's a gut check time for a lot of us on who we're learning our gospel from, huh? I know a lot of home churches are being started right now because pastors are dropping the ball. There are even people that used to go to this church 20, 30 years ago that left because it was too political that are now crawling back. I wasn't here then. I don't know them personally. But when they come around, I look at them with a jaundiced eye and say, you know, why should we let them back? But those aren't decisions it's above my pay grade. But I hold people in distrust until they prove themselves to me. And that's another thing you should do. Treat everyone with respect. Trust no one until they've proven that they earned that right. That doesn't mean step over a burning baby to do what you got to do. If you can stop and put the baby out and put some salve on it and give it a bandage, do it. Don't suddenly disregard that one great thing that makes us human, and that is empathy and caring for one another. Don't turn it off, but maybe put a dimmer switch on it and learn how to use that dimmer switch. When it's not a risk to you, you're going down the road, you see somebody that just got the tar beat out of him and all his things are taken and he's crawling, bloody knuckled on the road, stop and see if he can, you know, be wise and tactical in it. I'm not going to go into that on today's show. Give him some water, bandage him up, hear his story, decide then. Maintain security. Maintain the possibility that everybody you come across is just going to be a potential threat. Move on. Get your family to where they need to be and move on. Get to be where you need to be and rebuild. Some of the things you got to realize, folks, is that let's say you got a bug-out plan, you're going to get to your cash. You say, I've got a year's supply of food there. You got to grow crops. You gotta build. You gotta make stuff happen. That's Anthea calling. You gotta make stuff happen. You're gonna need 3,000 to 4,000 calories a day for you as the head of the household to split firewood, plant crops, hunt. Every day supply of rations you give away is one less day your family has at making it. Every granola bar counts. 3,000 to 4,000 calories. Now those people that just sit back and maybe do sewing or less labor intensive might get by on 1,800 to 2,000 calories a day. But it's all about numbers and economics. The Bible is all about that. It's not all spiritualism. Sadly, that's the way it is. Excellent question, by the way. And more we're going to just be focusing on that as these days get what I think is closer to civil war, closer to social disruption where man will prey upon man. Just my deepest prayer for all of you is that if you're not already, that you're out of the cities. And that you will either be given a way, see a way, find a way to get out. Those are excellent, Mary. Mary's got some 1800s gardening information. I left mine down there. I had some 1940s victory gardening stuff that I was going to talk about tonight. She's on my Facebook page, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Mary, Stacy wants you to add her. Make sure you add her there. Thanks for the answer. You're welcome. Let's see. Scotty put in 1 Peter 3:12 here. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto the prayers, unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. 1 Peter 3:12. Yeah. He's going to be there for you, but you know what? You also have to show up, and you have to make an effort. Yes, you can fall down by the river, and he can send crows with food, you know, and things like that. The miraculous has happened. You can survive on eating grass. It's happened in the Bible. But more so than not, the Lord helps those who are motivated to do what he has called them to do.
You want me to take
this? Yeah, see who that is.
Hello?
Yeah, I think my daughter's calling. She misses me and misses the... Just Lewis and Stacy. She calls Stacy Mom. Oh, that really irks my ex. I love it. And then we're in the parking lot at Wendy's and doing the kid transfer. Mom! She throws her arms around Stace. I wish I could talk to her. I don't know if you're listening, Anthea, but I'm on the air. What was that squeak? It sounded like a puppy.
Oh.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I think it's a bat. I think we got a bat in the studio. Talking a little bit about split-second survival. Lou, put the email address for split-second survival out of Alaska. Yeah, what'd I say?
Email address.
Yeah, email address, whatever. Put all of it up there. Put the voodoo connection. Split-second survival is not a martial art. It is a way to immediately address the threat. And the threat is not the right arm, the left arm, the fist, the knife, or the pistol or rifle. The threat is the brain that is motivating those weapons to be used. And what I love about this guy, what's his name, Larry Wick?
Yeah.
Larry Wick, Lou's new idol. It used to be Chuck Norris, now it's Larry Wick. Is that it's not movie, it's not sports, it's not competitive, it's not all these eight different moves. It's destroy the person. It's like target-focused training, but without wanting to necessarily kill the guy.
Without all the fancy stuff.
Yeah, without all the fancy stuff. It's identifying that when you get into an arm lock in wrestling situation, the guy's just going to pull a knife and stab you. Was that baby girl?
Yes, she said, hey, Dad.
Okay. And then the other part of it is they usually have an accomplice. It's just going to come out of nowhere and stab you or shoot you. So it's being completely aware of your area. Getting out. The best way to win a fight is to not fight. If a guy comes up, puts a gun to your face. What is that squeaking?
No, that's Molly outside. I didn't know she was out.
Molly's here?
Yeah, she's outside, chained up.
Oh, you should have let her in. I love Molly.
Why isn't she in here?
Molly's our baby girl. Our other baby girl.
Outside.
Yeah, I didn't know Ellen was still here.
I didn't even know she was outside until I went.
Yeah. Anyway, back to my point. We're talking about little Scotty dog things. And, you know, that's just the way Dutch Jones' life rolls. One day it's a Scotty dog. Next, we're talking about breaking a guy's face. It's none of it's punching. It's all open hand stuff, mostly the throat and neck, because some of these guys are gigantic and huge. He has in these things.
Neck.
They're all, yeah, huh?
All the strikes are throat and neck.
Yeah, all the strikes. There are no throws. There are no locks. Because while you're trying to work out
no
these three steps, no kicks, no knees, it is all about just doing damage to the enemy. And that's the best way to do it and to get out of the situation. I encourage you guys to take a look at his videos and what we're going to do.
It's all gross motor, too.
It's all gross motor. For those of you that don't know what that means, it's big movements. It's not finite putting your fingers in a certain position, raising two knuckles out higher than the other. It's all stuff that you're going to do when you're fighting. One of the things is, and it's funny because in these videos he says, they teach police, they teach soldiers, you know, to do all these fancy throws. Well, when you're wearing all your protective gear, your duty belt, your vest, everything's on, you're not going to be able to do these things. And you're not going to, like I always say, the worst thing you can do is get into a wrestling match with anybody. The longer you're engaged with the enemy, the higher your chances go of being maimed or murdered, period. A lot of throat strikes. That's what Lewis and I have been practicing for the past several weeks, just throat strikes. It takes a lot of discipline to do because you can hurt each other. Eye strikes. Are there a lot of eye strikes in this one or none?
There are none.
Yeah, it's this one doesn't.
Everything's the throat.
Everything is throat. Target the throat. And the importance of that is even if you don't crush the cartilage, it swells, it's painful. People's anatomic response, they naturally want to go to protect it. And it's an awesome system. What we're going to do is, after we watch them all, people who make donations, we'll be sending little tidbits of it to encourage you to purchase them. We'll give you little snippets of it. And that's how we found it. Lou found some, like, teaser that we downloaded. We're like, this guy's awesome. You know, we even showed it to our pastor, who's like a 105th degree. What is it?
One Humpling Chun.
Okay, now say it slower.
One Humpling Chun.
Okay, that's what our pastor studies. There's only 6 dojos in the entire United States.
Official dojos.
Official dojos. Are there underground ones?
I think there is.
Yeah. And he's like a multi-level black belt. He saw this thing and he says, this is all great. This is everything that we need to be teaching our militia guys. And I'm encouraging you to do that. To get this video, go to the website that Lou's putting up. Figure out a way to pay for the video, whatever you can, and then practice it. Now, the first video we saw, they were using live fire takeaways. Yeah, that's right. They would load a gun with one round, a semi-automatic or revolver, and we're pulling them, and they were using them. Now they say, don't do this. This is stupid. We shouldn't even be doing it, but we want to show you why all these other systems are wrong. All these locks, all these grips, all this other stuff. You're going to injure your hands. You're going to be taken out of the fight. You're going to get hurt. It's very realistic. Did she send it to you? Oh, cool. Yeah. Yay. Stacy's looking at that rope again, that sling. I think you should make, like I said, Mary, make a bunch of those, and we'll try and sell them for you. Runaway foo and come back with a shotgun Kwando. I like that, Robbie.
I put one on my Mini 14.
Yeah, I was thinking we'll put one on your Mini 14. She's going to send us one as a demo. There are so many ways out there and so many systems, and that's what they are. They're just, you know, they're just ways for people. You want to get a black belt in America? You just throw a lot of money at it. I have a black belt in Kenpo Karate. Got it in the military. It means absolutely nothing. It was so just oriented towards putting handcuffs on people. It's not real. I've studied Kenpo Karate, Kung Fu. That's why we kind of came up with our own curly fu. We say that as a joke. But what we do is we try and find stuff that's just going to work. You just want to engage the person that's engaging you as fast as you can and stop him. Well, folks, we're going to come back. When we come back, it's going to be Steve Klein. If you people love Muslims, you might want to stick around. You're going to learn some stuff. If you think there's a such thing as a moderate Muslim, stick around. Hopefully, he's supposed to call. I'm hoping he'll call soon here. Would you get the cell phone over there in case he doesn't call? So we can call him. So stick around. We'll be back after the break. This is Dutch Jones. We'll be on Liberty Tree Radio here in a few seconds.
These are men, America's best.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, boom! We'll set up roadblocks everywhere!
I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations,
the
gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Forget about it.
And welcome, welcome, welcome to all of our listeners. A special big welcome to Liberty Tree Radio, just joined in here. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you from the highlands of Central California. We're actually foothills, but this is Cahuilla, right in the belly button of Central California. And we're bringing you the Christian Militant World View as we do every day, Monday through Friday. Well, without further ado, I promised all last week and yesterday I sent out emails that we were going to have on a person that I recently met, but I feel like I've known him a long time because he's a brother in the cause. And I've told you guys to get your pencils ready, be writing down the information he's going to be putting out. If you want to give us questions for this man after I introduce him, you have to go through the chat room here. And you can get to the chat room by going to dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info. And what we will do is I will read the good questions, or paraphrase them, for Mr. Klein, who's on the line already. And I will see if he can answer them. But mostly what today is, he's going to put some information out. So he's going to be giving you some good stuff that you need to know. And so I may not break in with your questions right away. We'll give his email address out at the end of the show so you can send them to him if I don't get them. Without further ado, the founder of Code 20, the solution to the problem I've been talking about all week, Mr. Steve Klein, are you there?
I'm here, and thank you very much. Glad to be on the show.
I'm very glad to have you on here. And now I've told a lot of people, I kind of paraphrased one of your presentations, said everybody's out here talking about the problem of Islam. Everybody's got, you know, wants to cry and whine about it. You've got a solution. Could you tell us what your solution is, sir?
Yeah, real easy. My background is I came up through the Marine Corps as a private, and then I was a translator team leader, leading kill teams in Vietnam, hunting down, closing with, and destroying vestiges of Viet Cong cells, working with the North Vietnamese Army just outside of Ashaw Valley and Hamburger Hill. I learned cell warfare. That's my specialty. I'm not an expert in it. Once you say you're an expert, somebody will try to trip you up. But
sure.
I specialize in it. Yeah, no problem. So I actually taught my young son how I operated in Vietnam, very mobile, always on the move, very wary, very offensive-oriented. And so he's now an E7 in the Army. He's been to Bosnia, Afghanistan, and Iraq. He survived a major suicide bombing. He was shot up, but in the foray, he was able to survive. He killed at least 13 Muslims within 15 to 20 feet of him and rescued 18 U.S. soldiers. But the main reason he survived is the same reason why I have Code 20. And the reason he survived was because he listened to me when I said, do not ever trust a Muslim, period. When you go out and you have a kill team, when you go out, you will never have a Muslim translator. You will never have a Muslim guide. You will go out on your own, only with the United States soldiers that you trust. And as a result, he was racking up the kills more than the other guys, Rangers and Green Berets combined. He was called in by a full colonel. Colonel said, you have to take a Muslim out with you. And my kid said, no, you can relieve me of duty, but I won't. He's still active duty, very successful, E7. He should pick up E8 pretty quick. But the stuff that I've learned from and about Islam all goes back to my roots in cell warfare in Vietnam when I was 18 years old. I was in boot camp when I was 17, and then I was a translator team leader when I was 18, 19 years old in Vietnam. I went on ambush every blankety-blank night for 8 months in a row with no breaks, nothing, no R&R. Every night I went on ambush 7 days a week. Now, I operated eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose, toe to toe with members, suspected members of the Viet Cong who were still surviving and infiltrated in the village that I worked in. And so I learned how cells operate eyeball to eyeball, toe to toe, nose to nose, just like an operative in the CIA, nowhere near as sophisticated as the CIA, but then again, I did it face to face, eyeball to eyeball. Okay. So through this evolution, after 9/11 popped up, I had no idea before 9/11 what a Muslim was. I had no idea how they operated. I had no idea their theology. I had no idea that they were warlike and things of that nature. But after 9/11, I quickly found all of the terror cells in San Diego County, and I was taking guys out to mosques throughout Southern California and really learned a lot eyeball to eyeball. The reason we learned a lot quicker than other guys is I had Christian Arabic-speaking translators with me, and they stood side by side as I walked or talked with the terrorists all throughout Southern California. And one of the guys that I have, I still work with now, I cannot say his name.
Okay.
He was tortured for 6 months in Egypt. He's extremely brave. He's on board with us. And as I watched what was going on, I came up with this five-point solution. So if you have a pencil and paper, you can write it down. Once you give a solution, it's open to criticism, which is okay. Rush Limbaugh and the rest of the talking heads, they never offer solutions
sure.
to vote Republican. So the first thing is you got to have good theology. That throws a lot of people for a loop. I'll get back to that. The next one, obviously, you got to arm. The next one, you got to have 3 to 5 families. The next one, and I'll come and repeat these all. And also, they're on my website, too.
Give that out anytime you want.
My website is abolishislam.com, just like it sounds, www.abolishislam.com, abolishislam.com, abolishislam.com. So going back over the 5 points and leading to code 20, number one, you got to have the right theology. Number two, you got to arm. You got to arm. Number three, you got to link up with 3 to 5 families. Everybody thinks they got to have all 50 states and 35 million people. No, you don't. Believe me, having fought the Viet Cong on small unit level, 3 to 5 guys that know what they're doing, muy dangerous, muy peligro. So theology, arm, link up with 3 to 5 families. When the Muslims first started breaking into the United States, and in the majority, Muslim Student Association through the Muslim Brotherhood. If I throw out names, Dutch, stop me real quick, okay?
Sure. I'll make sure they know.
Muslim Brotherhood started in 1928. They're the killers, the murderers, the suicide bombers, Muslim Brotherhood. You can go online and type in Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. All kinds of articles will come up. Muslim Brotherhood. They call them, and I won't go into the Arabic. But with just a few people, they started in 1963, really expanding rapidly through the United States with a terrorist cell network in the United States. And the first one, active one, 1963. Now, there were so few Muslims that they used to meet once a month, and they would have to drive 3 guys in their cells 150 miles. So on the outside of their string of terrorists, 300 miles apart with a guy in the middle, and they would meet once a month. So they were stringing their cells together. Now, we're peaceful, we're Christians. However, I'm a fighting Protestant. I got no problems killing people. Absolutely none. I killed a few people in Vietnam. My son killed a bunch of them in Iraq, and we got no problem sleeping because we do it biblically in accordance with Romans 13:4. No
Amen.
Problems at all. Yeah. Number one, theology. Number two, arm. Number three to five families. Number four, organize. And number five, prepare. Theology, arm, three to five families, organize. Organization is real simple. Our rules of engagement and how we organize, how we go out and find the enemy. You can go to the Mayflower, the organizing documents of the United States, the four that I like. You might like other ones. The four that I like, Mayflower Compact, Declaration of Independence, the Northwest Ordinance of 1784, ratified in 1787, and the Constitution minus slavery. I only go to the original 10 amendments. I don't go from 11 on beyond. I just go to the original ones. If you can do that, you can develop yourself a really good organization. And then the last stage is to prepare. Now, in there, Dutch, did I ever say attack anybody?
No, you did not. You didn't even say shove.
Nope. I Now, Lewis, I'm afraid of Lewis, because if he shoves me, I'm an old man. I know I sound young, but I'm 60. Lewis, I don't want Lewis shoving me, okay?
He stays away from brittle Americans.
I used to be a brutal American. Now I'm a brittle American.
There you go.
Code 20. Code 20 grew up out of this idea of these five steps, theology, arm, three to five families, organize, and prepare. Code 20, real simple. As I've been all over the United States, and I found terror cells everywhere I go. It's so easy to find. It's incredible. It's just easy. My belief, from my military background as enlisted and an officer, as being in hot warfare, going, locating, closing with, and destroying active, shooting, murdering cells of Viet Cong working with the North Vietnamese Army. And then later I sat on a battle planning staff for the 5th Marines and then the 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines. I was electronics warfare officer, and all of the battle plan centered around electronics. Because if you don't have electronics, you ain't going to war.
Yeah.
In any case, I looked at my battle planning and I pulled it out of my head, how we operated, how I would sit down, and when I was given orders. And actually, one of the orders we were given was in preparation of Desert Storm. In 1975, the battalion I served with was the tip of the spear for the whole United States Marine Corps, 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines. We got an operation order, training order, and it said, an oil-rich kingdom has been overrun by a tyrant. Rescue them. Kind of sounds like 1991 and Saddam Hussein and going into Kuwait, right?
Yes.
That's exactly what it was. So a lot of the stuff that I developed as far as the theory, not the actual hardware, because by the time 16 years later, 1975 is when I got the op order, 1991 we went in. By the time we went in, all of the stuff that I was using was obsolescent, but the engineering system and all that stuff was the same. So a lot of my stuff was actually used in Desert Storm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and now as I look as a battle planner, and I look, okay, I got to know my enemy, I got to know my friends, all that stuff. I know that. You guys all know that. I know my listening audience is militant. God bless you. I'm a member of the militant church.
There you
I'm
go.
Not a member of the sissy church. I'm a member of the militant church, just as Dutch is, too.
Amen.
So I looked across the United States. I think I told you the story, Dutch, twice, so you got to hear it three times.
I know. Every time it's good.
Okay, good. I was in Gallup, New Mexico about a year ago or so, and I stopped into an inn. I'll just tell you, it was a Days Inn. And I stopped there in Gallup, New Mexico on scenic historic Route 66. And I get into this hotel. I've been driving for about 13 hours, and I'm getting into my room. I unpack my stuff, and this place looks like a hellhole. It's dirty, it's filthy. It doesn't look like it's been, you know, very well clean. And I'm looking and I'm going, I know my enemy. And I also know Americans. Most American Days Inn and hotels are clean, nice, fastidious. They make you feel welcome. Not this place. It was a dump.
Right.
I said to myself, Klein, this is definitely a terrorist-owned hotel. I know it is. Now, in cell warfare, what you want to do is put all of your cell warriors, because you have a few numbers, into key places. Well, Gas stations and mom-and-pop hotels are perfect. Gas stations, people are in and out, nobody pays attention. You get money in cash, you can skim, which the Muslims all do, and then they fund suicide bombers. And hotels, too. You can move in some really weird-looking dudes in and out, nobody pays attention. So I go to bed that night. The next morning, I walk down in to pay my bill. Sure enough, there's three Muslims on a telephone. They're talking to ICE, ICE, and they want to bring in their good brother, their buddy from Pakistan. So I got my back to these guys, and I'm listening to them. They're speaking English because they're talking to ICE. And the more they talk, the more I was convinced, and I'm absolutely convinced today, that that Days Inn in Gallup, New Mexico, is a terrorist cell.
Okay.
However, as I walked out of the hotel, I'm thinking, Gallup, New Mexico? There's nothing in Gallup, New Mexico, but a old Route 66, historic Route 66, which is basically drying up and shriveling. So I head east. I go 10 miles, and what do I run into? Oh, there's Fort Wingate. Shazam. How about that? So I knew immediately that the Fort Wingate soldiers were definitely coming up the old Route 66 into Gallup, you know, for liberty and stuff like that. And of course, the Army guys, they all wear their uniforms, and they got all of their patches, so you know their job, you know their unit designation. And they go in to get gasoline with a gas station run by the Muslims right next to this mom-and-pop hellhole hotel. And so the Muslims can just say, wow, how's it in the Army? Where are you going? Iraq? Oh, yeah, you're with this unit, that unit. Oh, I see by your patch, your infantry or artillery or whatever you are. And the Muslims then get on the cell phone, talk Arabic, and say, oh, yeah, on May 10th, 2010, these guys are going to be coming over to Iraq or Afghanistan. Piece of cake. No problem. I understand cell warfare. So code 20, I started thinking, we have very, very few people who understand how dangerous Islam is in the United States. They have less than 1% of the American population from my research. You could disagree. I have the proof. You can always disagree. No problem. I'm a big boy. I can handle disagreement. But about 1% of the Americans are Middle East Muslims. And however, they're at every mom-and-pop hotel throughout the United States and gas station. And Dutch, you saw, I showed how the CIA, FBI, and the United States Department of Intelligence, with its 16 departments, are all recruiting for Muslim Arabic-speaking terrorists. You saw it, right?
Aggressively recruiting and paying very well for them to come here.
Go ahead and wax eloquent on that for a few minutes if you want to. I'll listen for a few seconds.
Well, one of the things that we noticed was that all of these cultural slash health outreach days that they have in these different cities, from Dearborn, those of you listening at Liberty Tree Radio up there in Michigan, across the Southwest and everywhere, the CIA shows up. The Defense Department shows up, and they're looking for Farsi and Arabic speakers, and they're putting ads in college magazines. I was doing some research on my own. They're putting ads in communications magazines, professional newsletters. They're trying to actively recruit these Muslims for one reason and one reason only, I believe, to appear to be PC. Now, we can get into the whole New World Order, you know, pieces, you know, peeling back the onion. But I think the overt reason is that they want to go, look, we want to be inclusive. We're going to go over and bomb their huts, but we don't want to look like we're racist, so we're going to hire as many as we can and load them up in the FBI. How's that for eloquent?
That is, you wax on, wax off. You did a great job of waxing eloquent. That was very good. Yeah, and we'll come up later on the New World Order and how Islam interrelates to that. So what Dutch... And great job of intel work. You're the G2, definitely. You're definitely the intel guy.
I do my best.
Okay. If you would imagine the United States, a map of the United States, the 48 states, and you can throw Canada on top and Mexico down below because they're all working together, and Alaska, and Hawaii, too, if you want to. In fact, I had a soldier, poor guy, he was burned to death a couple of years ago, but he had actually infiltrated a mosque in Honolulu, Hawaii, as part of the Striker Brigade, and he was learning Arabic, and it was a sad thing. But in any case, if you draw all of the highways, byways, roads, railroads, air routes, shipping lanes, everything across the United States, you get a gigantic spider web. That is the terrorist network of the Muslims, because the Muslims, in warfare, you always go to bridges, tunnels, highways, intersections, all of the lines of communications, straights, narrows, canyons where people, where railroads are driving through and things of that nature. You always want to have possession of those. So the eyes on the ground of the Muslims, while they only have 3 million folks in the United States, they're at all of these major intersections from Central California to Seattle to San Diego to Miami to Buffalo, New York to Honolulu to Anchorage, Juneau. They're all linked together. So I'm thinking, okay, I have limited resources because very few Americans understand the depth of the power of Islam, which goes back to the money of Islam through the Saudi Arabian. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking in terms, okay, how do I take limited resources and stretch them thin? And I thought, that's not that hard. Code 20. For example, Dutch, you remember how I found the first terror cell in San Diego? You remember how I gave that funny example?
Yeah, the phone book.
Phone book, yeah. And before I told you, though, I said, just like Sherlock Holmes, if I tell you how I did it, you will say that, that's not hard, that's easy, that's dumb, that's stupid. But like Sherlock Holmes, he would never explain how he knew. He would make the other people explain. So I asked, what was there, about 8 guys in the audience that day?
Sure, 8 or 9, yeah.
8 or 9, and I asked each guy, how did I find the first terror cell? First terror cell, bip. And then Dutch Jones came back and said, you used the phone book. I said, bingo. Birds of a feather flock together, cell warfare, you know, like you got Little Italy, Little China, Little Japan, Little Saigon. All of the ethnic groups, when they come to the United States, they all link together. For example, Dearborn, Michigan is probably the hottest of all hot spots in the United States with Muslim terrorism. Well, it's easy to figure out why. Because in the 1920s, the black Muslim movement started around the Dearborn, Michigan area, and as the Middle East Muslims came into the United States, they saw guys named Mohammed and Ahmed and Mehmed, and they went, birds of a feather flock together, so they all started flocking into Dearborn. So code 20, real simple. We all live in a zip code whether we like it or not. We all live in a zip code, C-O-D-E. And I got to thinking, we need to keep an eye on these barbarians, these people from hell who call themselves Muslims, who are at all of these gas stations, mom-and-pop hotels, mom-and-pop stores, etc. So I thought, zip code 20. So the goal is to try to find 20 people smart enough who merely come in like the swamp fox in the Revolutionary War, who never pulled his saber. It was rusted shut in its saber. And he never used his pistol. The way he defeated Cornwallis was to cut his supply lines, burn them up, observe. The same stuff that I did in Vietnam. So code 20 is just take a zip code, and wherever you find a Muslim, they're all terrorists, and we can talk about that later too. Wherever you find a Muslim in a gas station or in a mom-and-pop hotel, try to find 20 people. It doesn't matter if they're 10 years old or 80 years old. When I went on ambush in Vietnam with a group that I was with, Combined Action Program, you can go on, look it up in Wikipedia, Combined Action Program. I went out on ambush with boys as young as 12 years old and men as old as 80 years old, and it was very successful. So if you go and you can find boys, you can find, you know, your best thing for code 20 is ladies.
Yep.
Ladies absolutely love to watch, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just human nature. It's lady nature. My wife loves to look out the blinds all the time, and I'm sitting there laughing at her, calling her Mrs. Kravitz from Bewitched, and she laughs about it too. So code 20. Code 20 is the incipient stages of building an army. It's a peaceful endeavor. It is constitutional. It is legal. It is moral. It is ethical. It is peaceful. Now, I'm telling people, if you want to watch, stay 100 yards away, 200 yards away. Don't get near them. Just watch. If you want to go and buy gasoline at that station and just walk in, keep your mouth shut, look around, see what's going on. If you see any soldiers or any military guys going in, time it so you go in at the same time. See how the Muslims behind the counter treat them. Same thing with the mom-and-pop hotel. You might want to go to that filthy, dirty little steep-ridden place once a month just so you appreciate your house. And keep an eye on old Mohammed and Mehmed and all these other guys. So I've spoken a lot again. I'm going to let you go ahead and wax eloquent again, Dutch.
Well, one of the things I want to do is I want to tie this into what we're already doing. And people, it might be a little overwhelming. It might be a little focused for others. They may be saying, well, Islam is just one threat. We in the American militia movement, the Christian militia movement, we're dealing with all threats. Well, this can be applied to anything.
Right.
Steve is doing here is he's applied it to the one threat that he's dealing with. Like I tell you, I'm a generalist, but we need people to be specific in these different threats. Now, throughout history, those of you, I know people are going to send me emails saying, well, Islam's not really a threat. It's made up by the New World Order. No. Islam has been and always will be a threat to Christendom, period. Their goal is to destroy all Christians. Now, whether you believe it's the Catholics pulling their strings or whether you think it's Israel pulling their strings, I don't care about that. If someone sends a rabid dog after you, do you worry about who owns the dog or do you dispatch the dog first? Then you can go after the owner of the dog. So one of the things I want you folks to think about in the listening audience, this might be a little different than what you normally hear. You know, we like to talk about the New World Order. We like to talk about all the stuff that's going on. Islam is a threat to our way of life, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you believe Mohammedists flew those planes into the World Trade Centers or not. The fact is, today I found six articles from around the world where Muslims are murdering Christians in their home nations. Period. End of story. The only reason they're not doing it here in America yet is that they're at 1%. 1%. When they reach, and they do this in all the nations they invade, when they reach a certain tipping point or a certain volatility level, and I'm going to have Steve to go into the accuracy of that, they start to flex their muscle. Isn't that right, Steve?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And anybody that I'm looking at the relationship between the New World Order and the Muslims, and now I could be completely wrong, and that's cool, no problem. I do know this. If I can take care of Islam, I can solve a lot of problems. And I'm trying to wonder, is the New World Order, are they the tail wagging the dog, or is the Islam wagging the tail of the New World Order? And there's another group out there called Interfaith. Interfaith is all tied together with this stuff. Interfaith is Protestants, Roman Catholics, LDS, yep, LDS. Joseph Smith said he wanted to be the Muhammad of America. LDS and Jewish folks, Hindus, all working together. Now, Interfaith, and this, here's the big kicker. New World Order, Islam, who owns who? The Interfaith is funded by the Saudi Arabians and the other countries over there in the Arabian Peninsula. Now, the other day we had Peter Hammond, and he was talking about Switzerland and how great they are and blah, blah, blah. Well, they used to be, and I was kind of shocked because Switzerland's being bought out rapidly by the Saudi Arabians. They got all the money.
Yeah.
Citibank, Bank of America, AIG, you name any bank you want. In fact, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, the mortgage loans, already have Islamic-compliant loans, Sharia-compliant loans. Everywhere I look, in civil warfare, always follow the money, rule number one. Rule number two, always follow the money. Rule number three, always follow the money. Everywhere I look, I see the Saudi Arabians. Now, the most conservative guy in the United States is a gentleman by the name of Grover Norquist. Grover Norquist used to work for Ronald Reagan, and Grover Norquist was on the board of directors for the National Rifle Association. Grover Norquist is married to a Palestinian Muslim. She's in the State Department at a real high level, top secret position, and we believe, those of us who really, I'll use the word, obsess on Islam, we are all convinced that Grover Norquist has become a Muslim. Grover Norquist has the Islamic Institute. A number of his people have been arrested. They meet Monday mornings, all the conservatives in the greater Washington, D.C., and here's the kicker. Saudi Arabia gives at least $50 million a year to Grover Norquist, and then he's the gatekeeper. He funnels out the $50 million to the Republican candidates he wants. I have proof of that. I've been active in politics in California. He placed the guy that's now in charge of the California Republican Party, Ron Nehring, in that place. He came through San Diego. The San Diego Republican Party was broke. This guy came in. His name is Ron Nehring. I'm convinced Grover Norquist sent him to San Diego, gave him millions of dollars from Saudi Arabia. The rest of the Republican Central Committees through California went, oh, man, this guy brought us millions. And next thing you know, he's in charge. of the California Republican Party, and look how we got our butts kicked in the last election.
Sure, yeah, here in California. So this guy Grover sounds like the Muslim version of George Soros.
Absolutely. Yeah, and so what Soros is doing for the Democrats, Soros is working with the Saudi Arabians. News Corp bought out Fox News. Fox News, Rupert Jones, News Corp. News Corp was bought out by a guy named Prince Al-Tawid, if I said that correctly. But he's a Saudi Arabian who owns $50 million of Disney in the United States. Al-Tawid, I'll never say it right.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
All of Euro Disney, and then he bought controlling interest of News Corp. And since then, Fox News is becoming more and more pro-Islam. For example, Geert Wilders, the Prime Minister of Holland, good guy, anti-Muslim. He knows that Islam is not compatible with our civil liberties. Mm-hmm. And before Prince Talawid bought out News Corp from Rupert Murdoch, Glenn Beck was saying Geert Wilders was a great guy. 2 weeks later, after News Corp bought out and had controlling interest of Fox News, then Glenn Beck came on and said that Geert Wilders was a far right wing extremist fascist.
Typical Beck flip flop that I always point out here, so good point.
Yeah, he's LDS. He's part of the interfaith deal, too.
Hmm. Yep. Yeah, that coexist stuff is going to kill those people that buy into that.
Yeah. Yeah. So going back to the New World Order, it's really interesting. The Muslims have 1.5 billion people in the world. They are 1,400 years old. Everywhere that Islam has gone for 1,400 years, they've killed everybody or raped them.
Right.
We're in the... The Muslims predate the New World Order, I believe, by a long shot, and they also have a heck of a lot more members with 1.4, 1.5 billion members, too.
Yeah.
We are in what's called the Third Great Jihad. The first Great Jihad ended approximately 100 years after Muhammad's death. The Muslims had blown out of Arabia, they conquered Egypt, they went all across North Africa, they went across the Straits of Gibraltar, they conquered Spain in 10 years, the Romans, it took them 200 years, they went across the Pyrenees Mountains, they went almost all the way to Paris, France, Battle of Tours or Poitiers,
right.
732 A.D., and Charles Martel defeated the Muslims and drove them back over the Pyrenees, where the Muslims raped and murdered the Spaniards for 700 years.
Right.
And so now this starts setting the stage for solution two, because now we're going to develop some things that we've been talking about, and we're going to end up with an acronym called DAMN, D-A-M-N, which is Deport All Muslims. Islam is PMS. Islam is PMS. Islam is PMS. Power, money, and sex. That's how he raises army. Islam is also RPM, religious, political, and military.
Mm-hmm.
You can witness to the Muslims all day long. That's cool. I think you should. I believe Genesis chapter 16, verses 11 and 12 tells you that you're probably going to fail in your proselytizing and witnessing. Genesis 16, 11 and 12 said, Ishmael, the father of Islam, Ishmael, wild man, donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him. What I think that means is Ishmael is satanically possessed, he's insane, he's a crazy man, he's at war against everyone and everyone is at war against him.
And always will be.
Always will be. And I think that's prophecy. It's also fascinating to me as a student of history that no missionary group has ever had bona fide success witnessing to any Muslim country. Never. One or two out of thousands, but not very much. So Islam is PMS, power, money, and sex. It's RPM, religious, political. Religious, you got to witness to them. Political, you got to have your own government against them. But you also got to do like Nehemiah chapter 4. His number one enemy was the sons of Ishmael. He stood there with a physical sword in one hand and witnessed to him in the other one. So we have to begin developing, code 20, lay the foundation, the basis. Now, even if you don't agree with me and you think everything's New World Order, that's all right with me. La Raza, MS-13, the gangbangers, gee whiz. if you all of a sudden in 15 or 20 years you raise 5, 10, 15, 20 million people in Code 20, you're going to be watching everybody.
Right.
Get yourself a real nice cell organization that's ready to go, bing, 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 just like the Minutemen, the real Minutemen. Islam is MPH, Muslims per host, and that's what Dutch was talking about. At 1%, they will say you're nice. The philosophy behind that is Mecca and Medina. When Muhammad was weak, he fled from Mecca until he got strong in Medina. When he was weak in Mecca, he did the first four chapters of the Quran. We love the Christians, we love the Jews, we love everybody. And then starting with chapter 5, the theological word is abrogation. The first four chapters of the Quran where it says we love the people of the book, blah, 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 that was abrogated. And now it's kill the Jews, kill the Christians, kill the kafirs, kill the infidels. And that goes on for the next 111 surahs or chapters of the Quran in the Sunni, I think in the Shiites it's 115, it doesn't matter. But when he was weak, he was nice. Just like they are now in the United States. We love you. We're building the Cordoba World Trade Center Mosque because we love you and we respect you. And then as they get strong, they will come back and murder and rape everybody. Now, the Muslims in the United States are small in number, but they are bigger than Goliath because Saudi Arabian money funds trillions of dollars. They do not register their lobbyists as foreign agents. They don't have to. Dutch, yeah. They own our companies, right?
Yeah, just like CARE and all the other groups.
Bingo, they own our companies, so when they go in to be lobbyists, it's dudes like us, Jones, Klein, Smith, Harrigan, Berrigan, McConnell, all go in. And if you go to, there's another great website where you can get tons of intel. It's AramcoExpats.com, AramcoExpats.com. That's for Arab American Oil Company expats, AramcoExpats.com. And you will see guys like you and me, the executives of Aramco, making $300,000, $400,000, $1 million a year. And they go to Saudi Arabia all the time, and they dress up like they're sheiks of the desert sands, and their wives dress up in burqas and veils, and they dance around, and they do the sword dance and all this other stuff.
Traitors.
Yeah. So the Muslim numbers are very small. They're about 1%, and as Peter Hammond's book points out, when they get to 10%, 20%, just look at London, look at France. They burned down 300 cities, two or three years ago, and they're raping gals in Sweden and beating people up. They get around 10%, they get pretty violent. 40%, like in Bosnia, it turns into genocide. 80%, and it's ethnic cleansing, etc. That's all provable. It's all demonstrable. It's really easy.
Well, where in the last 30 or 40 years have they reached 80%? That would be an example, because people say, oh, that's old history.
Oh, no. That's recent history. Now, you got problems in, remember you had the ethnic cleansing going on right over there in Bosnia, which is another great example. Bosnia is, you got Kosovo was actually cut out of the bottom of Serbia and created from the Muslims in Albania and in Bosnia. And in those areas, if you go back and you study them, I think I showed you the book I had.
Yes.
It's a very good book. I'm looking for it right now. Perhaps I'll be lucky and I can put my finger on it.
The Jihad book?
Left it at home. Yeah, it's the Bosnia book about Jihad. Over there, they have actually, in the cities of Kosovo, which was the old Serbia. Now those Christian cities are all walled off. And I gave you that example where the United Nations peacekeeping force from Canada watched Agim Sekou and the Muslims capture, rape, murder, and burn their bodies up with gasoline, the 200 Christian girls.
Right.
So we've got that going back. And I gave you the example when my son was in Bosnia, his unit actually supported Al-Qaeda, and I have the battle flags that Al-Qaeda give to my son. I know this sounds crazy. I have the proof. It took me a couple of years after my kid came back, and he showed me the battle flags. Yeah, I didn't think too much of them, and then I was doing some research, and I went, oh, my gosh, that's the double-headed eagle, and that's the Muslims, and these are the bad guys, etc. And And so one of my friends who watched 22 of his pals blown up in Iraq came over, and I just happened to have the two flags in my hand. And he goes, oh, I know those guys. And I go, yeah. He goes, yeah, those are the Albanians who were inside our base in Iraq. Gee, now that I think of it, and I told him these guys are Muslims. He says, yeah, now that I think of it, they never got mortared. They never got shot of the kind. It was very, very fascinating.
So much for the coalition.
So much for the coalition, comrade. So on the New World Order, I'm trying to figure out, okay, is the New World Order, are they pushing the Muslims around, or are the Muslims pushing them around? And I'll give you a really good example. I moved up to Salt Lake City because the Mormons started harassing me because I had jumped up on stage and confronted the number one terrorist in the United States face-to-face at an interfaith gig. That was, oh, golly, about 6 years ago. The next year, I took my Middle East Christians back with me. We went to the same venue, and the LDS showed up, and this time they had 10 or 11 very large Mormon missionaries, and they were dogging my guys everywhere we went. And there was this little old guy in charge of them, and I got a program, and I later identified who this guy was. I'm not going to say his name. But I went online, I checked him out. Lo and behold, he is a former Marine Corps pilot from the Korean War, and he was getting the gigantic Marine Corps Air Station in Southern California, getting the hangar opened up for services Fridays for the Muslims. So I put two and two together. That was my job in the Marine Corps battle planning. And I actually sold my house down in California, and I moved up to Salt Lake City, where the Mormons were working actively with the Muslims in the largest mosque in the western United States at that time was Salt Lake City. Do you remember the Salt Lake trolley massacre about 5 years ago, Dutch?
Yeah, the guy went nuts and shot like a dozen people.
Well, he didn't go nuts. He was a good Muslim.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm making excuses.
He was from Bosnia. He was a young guy under 25 years old. He was from Bosnia, and I think he shot 11 or 12 people to death there in Salt Lake. While I was in Salt Lake, I used to get their newspaper, Deseret News, their official newspaper, and they were always bragging about how much they loved the Muslims in Bosnia. Well, the Muslims in Bosnia are all Afghanistan al-Qaeda trained by Osama bin Laden. We got the proof, and what was happening was that they were bringing all of the Afghani warriors after they defeated the Soviets. They were bringing all those guys into Bosnia and then starting to train the Bosnians and turn them into the mad dogs of death that the Arabian Muslims are. It's a great, great book. Yeah. Really interesting. Well, anyways, out of this, I determined that the LDS are actively working, aiding and abetting the Muslims. The question I have is, the LDS are worth about $50 billion. That sounds like a lot of money. But the Muslims are probably worth $50 trillion when you add everything all together, the businesses they own in the United States. They're in China now with the Uyghurs. They're all over. They own the banks in Switzerland. They own Citibank and just scores and scores and scores of banks. Saudi Arabia is everywhere. Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Dubai, Qatar. Qatar is the nation, small nation, where our military headquarters, CENTCOM, is. And Qatar, Q-A-T-A-R, is the central nervous system globally of all terrorist funds that's collected in the United States and Gallup, New Mexico, Central California, Hawaii, Seattle, Michigan, everywhere. All of the money is sent through the Hawala system, which means trust. They skim off money, cash, money orders and things of that nature, send it back to Qatar, and then they take that money and then they fund the guys who blew up the suicide bomber that blew up my son. We have all kinds of proof that Saudi Arabia and these countries are paying a bounty on a sliding scale. That's how my son knew that there was a suicide bomber stalking him and his unit, and when he turned it over to his leaders threatened to arrest my son because he wasn't being politically correct.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the LDS are real clever. They think they are pushing the Muslims around. Well, I'm telling you right now, with 1.5 billion people and there's only 18 million LDS in the whole world, I think 1.5 billion out pushes 18 million.
Yeah.
I think 50 trillion Now, that's just a guess. It could be $25 trillion, but it's a hell of a lot more than $50 billion.
Well, let's look at it this way. You said follow the money already.
Yeah,
The Arabs are going to buy everything they can. They're going to buy influence everywhere they can. The banks, you said. It's a famous line of this show and other shows. We've got to watch the banksters. The banksters are the ones behind this. The power elites are the people with power and money.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter who the enemy is to me. If they're enemies of Christ, they're my enemy.
Amen.
And that's why I don't like corporate churches. That's why I don't like big religious movements. So some people may be getting their feathers ruffled about LDS or whatever, but the fact of it is that the bigger these corporations get, the easier they are influenced by huge infusions of money. I know that the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Loma Linda
has
a huge Islamic influence there.
I had no idea until you sent me that, and so I would ask people, look, you can get mad at Dutch and me. All I'm doing is the same thing when I walked into the Colonel. And he says, client, give me the battle plan. I'd sit down, and he'd look at me, and he'd say, you are the craziest SOB in the world, and there was 10 others. We had guys with Navy Crosses, Purple Hearts, and everything. Two of the guys on that staff, two of them ended up three-star generals. So these are not lightweights. These are not idiots. And we would hash over these things, and all you got to do is just follow the money. You can go to my website, abolishislam.com, www.abolishislam.com. I've got about 150 one-hour lectures on all the stuff we're talking about, my background, political science. And right now, I broadcast live upstate New York and Rochester by Syracuse, and I'm working on inflaming the Muslim Student Association and the Muslim Brotherhood, trying to get them to sue me. Because if they do, I can open them up, follow the money, who funds you? So I know they won't sue me.
That's a good question. What are some of the victories you've had? And, of course, I already know the answer to that. But what about the legal issues? I'm not big on court, but if you can drag our enemy into court and expose them, what have you done?
Yeah, we've won 4 out of 6 lawsuits. We'll probably prevail in the last one. Now, there's numbers of aspects to warfare. For example, cell warfare is probably, in my opinion, the most powerful and successful, and we'll never fire a shot. When you're firing shots, you're really kind of bogged down, and there's other things you could be doing. You still got to be gathering intel and preparing for the next battle. So
sure.
Code 20, I absolutely love that. But in using the First Amendment, what we do, based on Romans 10:13, call upon the name of the Lord, how will they be saved except by the preacher? How will they hear except by the preaching? So we go out. We have sued 6 different jurisdictions in California. We've won 4. We lost 1. And that was because of nobody could figure out where the property line was. We did everything right with that. And we're in a 6th lawsuit right now. We'll probably trigger another one. So, and as we do this, I bring in more guys. I'm always recruiting. Just like Dutch. We're always recruiting. You know, a lot of people, like I go to mosques. Well, that didn't win anybody to Christ. Well, that's right. And when Jesus stood before the Pharisees in Matthew 23, he didn't win anybody except a cross. However, we're also bringing in recruits, we're opening eyes, we're getting sharp, we understand, we're going face-to-face with terrorists, talking to them, they're telling me their tactics, they're telling me their strategy. When they get arrogant and defiant with me, I'm taking it all in. I'm like a sponge, I'm like an encyclopedia. I'm going, dude, keep running your mouth. You're telling me everything I want to know, big mouth. Keep it up.
It's recon by fire. At least that's what we called it in the Army.
Fire. Yeah, same thing. So, like when I was in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on the last case we won, I was up there about 8 months ago. And so I sat in front of the 3 knuckleheads with black robes on, and I just sat there shaking my head, thinking, these guys are bona fide idiots. So I learned something.
Yeah.
Can't trust these guys. So what do I got to do? I got to go to Code 20. I got to go beyond. I can't sit down and reason with these. Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, Alan Dershowitz, Gloria Allred. We're going to reason with those guys.
Yeah.
When it all comes in fruition, in the fullness of time, just like the Minutemen, you know, when the Brits came stupidly walking up. You know, I've studied that battle. The British only had 3 regiments, and when the end of the day, the colonists, the Minutemen, had 47.
Yeah.
At the end, not at the beginning.
Right, when they rallied.
When they rallied, and that's all Dutch Jones and Steve Klein, that's all we're doing. The nice thing about Code 20 is you're your own commander, you're your own recruiter, you're your own West S1234, Commander, Executive Officer. You can be as big as small you want to. The only thing that Dutch and I ask, you adhere to the Holy Scriptures and that you understand that agape is the fulfilling of all law, Romans 13:10. We were talking about that, and that blows people's mind. When I tell people, look, when I was a battle planner, even when I was an atheist, I still understood the law written on the heart, and I still understood the golden rule, and when I got that order in 1975, my first thought was not, how do I put this battle plan together and move 100,000 men or 50,000 or 20,000 men 10,000 miles? That was not my thought. My thought was, is this ethical, legal, moral, in accordance with the golden rule, justified? I have Department of Defense documents from 1955. I've read them to Dutch, where it says the Constitution of the United States is based on the law written on the heart.
Yeah.
So all of this stuff, it all works together. So then my whole overall thing is alter or abolish and reinstitute. I'm going to kind of close with this and then let you go ahead and wrap it up.
Yeah, I got some questions for you, so go ahead and finish your presentation, and then I'll ask you a few questions.
Yeah, we got this thing with the theology, the arm, 3 to 5 families, the organize, and the prepare. And also the preparing, the alter or abolish. The Continental Congress was created before the Revolutionary War so that if by miracle they won, they had a government ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask anybody who wants to go out and become involved in this, I want you to sit down. I want you to sit down and you create a government for me. Let's say you win. Let's say that you were Cromwell, you were George Washington, Robert E. Lee, whoever your favorite dude is, and now the war is over. Now you got to create a government. All right, I can do it, and that's how I gave it to you, those four organizing documents. So with that, go ahead and fire away with the questions.
Well, good point, because that leads into my first question that I want to give you that I got through Facebook. How do you feel about us going over to Iraq and enforcing what our government's now calling democracy, but a free republic, into a nation that doesn't follow God's law?
That is an outstanding question. I used to be president of the United States Marine Corps Reserve Officers Association before we invaded Iraq and Afghanistan, and I was the lone dissenter. I was against the war on Iraq and Afghanistan because I knew exactly what was going to go on now. However, there is a time and a place for brigade-sized type raids. Good example, Muammar Gaddafi did some wicked evil things. We sent over some Navy jets, whacked them good, and the guy turned into a crazy man, was too afraid to even come out of his house for a long time. I see nothing wrong whatsoever with sending over a brigade-sized force for a limit of 10 days and say, you can try to get Saddam Hussein, or you can try to whack the Taliban. You got 10 days to destroy as much as you can in accordance with the Constitution and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. You are not there to build a nation. You are not to do anything except as a revenger of God, Romans 13:4. Go read it. Romans 13:4, a revenger of God. You're over there to tell the Muslim world, you hit us with one, we'll hit you with 1,000. I think that's very loving. I think that fits in with Agape 13:10. Agape is the fulfilling of all law. Just like, I ain't going to let anybody knock my wife and daughter down and rape them. Ain't going to happen. I know Dutch wouldn't either. Great question.
Okay. The next one I have here is, should we be looking, and it's kind of a joke, but I like the question, should we be looking for Osama bin Laden in America, these Code 20 people?
That's a good question. Remember, I just said I was president of the United States Marine Corps Reserve Officers Association, and we had a briefing come to us. I think you heard me explain
yes.
when I think he's dead.
Yeah.
You heard me.
Yes.
Operation Anaconda, March 2002, 101st Airborne was in a pitched battle with Osama bin Laden. They had positive ID on him, and they, for the first 8 hours, they thought it was Custer's last stand. They thought that the 101st unit was going to get wiped out. After about 8 hours, they got supporting arms, and they turned the battle on them. They called in a smart bomb. I can't remember exactly how big. 2,000 pounds sticks in my mind. Could have been 1,000,000 pounds. I don't know. They shot the thing with a camera in the nose of it. It came down with positive ID. The target was Osama bin Laden. They said it was a direct hit. There was 300 guys on horseback. After a bomb of that magnitude hits, everything's all mixed together, DNA, horse, dirt, humans. And in the Muslim world, they would insist on showing the body, corpus delicti. And so I think that's why the United States has been reticent in saying, yeah, we killed him. And remember, when Saddam Hussein, he had how many doubles, 10, 15, 20? And under Islamic law, taqiya, lying, that's all part of their gig, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Back to that first question about Islam and a republic. Also, I forgot to mention, the constitution of Afghanistan and Iraq are both based on Islamic Sharia law, which is absolutely anti-republican, anti-constitutional republic, anti-democratic. For example, Islam never allows majority rights with majority rules with minority rights, never will allow a First Amendment for the people to peaceably assemble to petition a government for a redress of grievances. So that's, both questions are great.
Okay, you mentioned one of the key of your points was to prepare.
Yeah.
Does preparing include weapons and training, and why if we're just watching?
Well, yeah, because you're watching sooner or later is going to turn into hot warfare. For example, let's say that I'm unfortunate and I live next door to MS-13 gangbangers and I'm trying to watch and keep my wife safe. I'm smart enough to know that eventually they're going to try to get my wife or my daughter, and at that time, then I will send them to their 72 virgins with great alacrity and dispatch and a smile on my face. So in that preparation, it's all decentralized. So if you live in a desert or you live in the snowy climes, you take care of all of those things yourself. You get your own people, and you train them, you organize. I have my group. I have 760 acres. And I've got a number of Iraq and Afghani veterans. I've got millions of gallons of waters and blah, 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 blah.
Excellent, excellent point. And you may not even know it because I know you haven't heard the show before, but you're fitting all the pillars of the Dutch Jonesisms, too, with all these. One of the other questions kind of rose out of that. How are the gangs in America working with Islam towards jihad? I would assume they mean like the illegal smuggling and stuff, but I'll let you answer that as you want.
No, that's great. MS-13, I think they get paid like $25,000 from the Saudi Arabians to bring up guys. One of the first Muslim Student Association terror cells in the United States was University of Arizona, Tucson, because it's right above that corridor and right by where, what's his name, Obama just put up the billboard, stay out, dangerous, peligro, etc. This is very fascinating because the Mexicans, believe it or not,
right,
come from Spain, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And for 700 years, the Arabians, believe it or not, raped and murdered all of the girls, and there's a bunch of illegitimate children in Spain who became the Mexicans when they came over here. So the Muslims, the Arabians, being smart, started mixing in the terrorists with the thousands and thousands of people coming across the border. And we have all kinds of evidence and proof of the Muslims coming up. That book on Bosnia specifically mentioned the network from Bosnia to Mexico to Tucson and then into Southern California and whatnot, too. So the MS-13 has no love for Christ. They have no love for America. And so, once again, Code 20, hey, get you all set up for taking care of those guys, too.
Excellent. Well, that's going to have to be our last question. We've got about 2 minutes here. What I want to do is give you at least a minute to give contact info. And just some words of encouragement. You'll hear music. We'll be playing Our God is a Mighty God as we go out. We should have done 2 hours. It's just amazing to me. Good info. I'm getting all kinds of good comments. So, Steve, you've got about a minute here to give your contact info, and then we'll fade out.
Okay. My email is my name, steve@kleinus.com. @kleinus.com. steve@kleinus.com. Just send an email to Dutch. He can forward it. The website, abolishislam.com. There I go through hour after hour on political science, how to create your own government properly in accordance with the way America originally did it.
Great, great. And then one last question. Give the documents again. People are asking what those four building documents are.
Mayflower Compact, Declaration of Independence, Northwest Ordinance of 1784, 1787, Constitution minus slavery. You can email me. I've digested them and put them into modern English. It really helps you.
Okay, well, folks, I want to thank Mr. Klein there. Stay on the line, Klein. I want to say goodbye to you properly on the phone there. This has been the Dutch Jones Radio Program, an excellent hour. Maybe we'll have Steve on a regular basis to answer your questions and give you some more insight. If you like what you heard here, go to dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info, and give us a hand there financially. We need some donations. We met about 50% of last month's cost. And remember, as always, no matter what you send, you will get something in return. And keep telling people about the show. We keep growing. Thank you to all our affiliates broadcasting on FM, AM, Baby Monitor, Shortwave. Special thanks to Liberty Tree Radio for giving us a hand and always helping spread the word of the holy cause of liberty. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for listening, and God bless all who fight.